This is one of the greatest Sabbaths to preach on this weekend when we think about God's victory. So hopefully you will stay awake this morning, but if not, I know Ryan is out there somewhere just waiting and watching. Will you bow your heads with me this morning? Almighty Father God in heaven, Lord, you are King of the universe, but you want to be King of our heart. So we call out to you today, and humbly, Lord, we ask for your help so that the words that are spoken will only glorify you, so that the words that are heard will change each of us. Lord, may we see your glory today as they did so long ago when you came forth victorious. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, thinking back to my time as being a teenager, when I was in my 20s, there were endless debates that me and my friends, a bunch of guys, we would get together and we'd love to debate things. We would just talk for hours arguing about certain things that never really had an answer. We would debate over who was the greatest basketball player ever. And we all had our opinions. We fought for what we thought was right. We would debate over which was the best musical group out there, who we liked the best. And we would talk for hours and hours. When we were younger, we discussed important things like who was the strongest superhero in the world. We tried to figure that out, and we all had our favorites. We got older, and we all attached to certain sports franchises, and so we would argue over what was the greatest sports franchise in history. Well, one of the things that my friends and I never debated, we never argued or discussed what the greatest song lyric was. And all the things we talked and fought over, we never did that. Out of all the songs written, and there are billions, out of all the songs with all those billions of lyrics out there, what is the greatest lyric ever sung? Whew, that'll make you think, won't it? Well, in my days as a rock and roll DJ, I spent anywhere from 4 to 6 hours a day listening to music. So I've heard tons of lyrics in my life. Some were meaningful and poignant. Others were just silly and ridiculous. And there were others that were not worth listening to more than once. Well, this week as I was praying about this sermon, and as I thought about Resurrection Weekend, the grandest theme of all the Bible, the thought hit me. What is the grandest lyric in music? Now, perhaps you're thinking, how was the greatest song lyric going to connect to the Bible and to Resurrection Weekend? Well, let's find out. The greatest lyric, of course, this lyric and this subject will lead to endless debate. A lot of discussion, because this question, along with all the others, was based completely on subjectivity. That's why the greatest ever questions are so much fun for me. And of course, even though I've listened to tons of lyrics out there through the years, I certainly haven't heard them all, so maybe you have one I haven't heard yet. So you may disagree with me this morning. That's okay. But I'm going to build my case as to why this to me is the greatest lyric out there. Now, the greatest lyric has to speak to all people from all walks of life, so it can't just come from a religious background. It has to be able to speak to everybody, no matter where they're at in life. For me, the greatest lyric has to embody human need. The starting point, the starting question. So what is humanity's greatest need that we have? Well, remember, you have to come up with a thought or a lyric that speaks with all for all people. That's what I was looking for. And as I thought about this and as I prayed about this, this lyric came to mind, this old lyric from the past. So this was the lyric that I chose. Greatest lyric. It says, I want to know if love is wild. I want to know if love is real. And as I thought about those lyrics, I thought that is the very core of every human that God has created. The fundamental desire in all of us as fallen humanity, with every heart that we have, whether we realize it or not, is the desire to know God, to know love. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, it says that God has placed eternity in their hearts. He's put that inside of us to know Him and to know love eternal. God has placed that in you and in me. In Acts chapter 17, verse 27, it says, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each of us. God wants us, and He's put something inside of us so that we will want to seek Him and find Him. And the Bible reminds us that though we may be searching everywhere for God, He's not far. He's not far from us. So we hear this core desire, this core need expressed in a song lyric. I want to know if love is wild, and I want to know if love is real. St. Augustine put it this way, speaking to God, he says, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until we rest in you. Out of all the lyrics that I thought of, and I've heard humans come up with, this is the one, whether the artist intended to or not, that seems to sum up succinctly humanity's greatest need. I want to know if love is wild, and I want to know if love is real. So does God have an answer? What do you think? Does God have an answer? Does He care about our needs? You bet He does. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. He says, I love you with a never-ending love. So God's answer to our greatest need brings us this morning to perhaps the most important verses in all the Bible. Today, we are going to start some discussions at the dinner table. Amen? You can talk about your favorite lyrics, and we're going to talk about the most important verse in the Bible. What would that be? If you had to pick one verse where God succinctly answers that need that humans have, what verse would you pick? You say, oh, Pastor, there are so many great verses in the Bible. How are we supposed to choose just one? How do we do it? This is too tough. I don't want to do it anymore. It is hard, and that's what makes questions like this so much fun, because they foster endless debate. But think of it this way. Is there a passage in your Bible where if it was removed, everything falls apart? I believe there's a verse, an event, that if you removed it from the story, everything else crumbles. And it's the verse that Christianity celebrates this time of year and should celebrate every day. Amen? So if you have your Bibles with you, I'd invite you to open them this morning to our scripture reading for today that was so wonderfully read. Matthew chapter 28, looking at verse 5 and 6. What is the verse in the Bible where God answers our incredible need as humans? Matthew chapter 28. The angel has come down like lightning from heaven, and he speaks to the women Sunday morning at the tomb. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. Are we seeking Jesus today, friends? Then we're just like the women. He says, I know that you seek Jesus, but he is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. Think of it, friends. Think of those words that were spoken. He is not here. He is risen. Come and see. What if that verse, and if the parallel verses in the other Gospels that are like it, what if they were not there? What if there was never a declaration, he is not here, he is risen? That changes everything, doesn't it? According to the Apostle Paul, without that verse, everything falls apart. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Does this verse in the Gospels, this amazing verse in Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6, this amazing story of Jesus' resurrection, does it answer humanity's great need? I want to know if love is wild. I want to know if love is real. I work with so many young people throughout the years and even right now. And sometimes they know a lot of doctrine and they know truth, but they want to know, is the love actually real? And is it strong enough to love me? Deep down, we want to know if God's love for us is wild. How wild is God's love? Well, for those of us who have a few miles on us, let's think back. Do you remember the love when you were just falling in love? Can you remember back to those times? Do you remember the crazy things that you did when you were falling in love? I mean, our love was wild then. When Jeanette and I were in our 20s, we were dating then, and we would spend hours on the phone while we were dating. We lived in different cities, so we were a long ways away, and we would just spend hours on the phone. Any of the rest of you did that when you were dating? Just hours upon hours. Even after we ran out of things to say, we didn't want to hang up. We were just there. And this was back when you had to pay for long distance, folks. We didn't have plans like today. We didn't have cell phones. So every moment, every minute, more money clicking away, clicking away, clicking away. But it didn't matter because we were in love. And so we sat there paying money in order to breathe on the phone with each other because we just couldn't hang up. Crazy love, wild love. But my friends, God's love for you and me is even more wild. Amen. It's crazier than anything that we have done when we've been in love. Think about it with me. Jesus, the Creator, became a creature. He became human. That's wild. How is it even possible? My mind tries to wrap around it. I don't know that I can. God's love takes him to wild, extreme lengths in order to save us. Fallen humanity's need cried out to God, we need to know that you love us, God. We need to know it. God says, I'll show it. If any of you have children, you may have at times entered debates with them. And sometimes our kids would ask us, you know, how much do you love me, Daddy? And there's a cute little kid's book that's out there called I Love You This Much. And the little baby rabbit in the book says, I love you, Mommy, to the moon. And then Mommy replies, I love you to the moon and back. And she's always got something a little bit more, and we would do that. Ethan used to debate with us all the time. He'd say, I love you more. And so I'd reply, well, I love you most. And to not be outdone, he would reply, I love you more than mostest. Children need to be told and assured of their parents' love, but they need to see it too. Children need to see their parents' love too. And love involves action. Sometimes it's a little too much love as they get older, but they have to see that love. Love can't just be a theory, amen? It's not just a feeling. Love must move. And we as humans needed to see God's love in action. And God's love is wild. God's crazy, wild love led Jesus to this planet. And it led Jesus to be arrested on Thursday night. God's love. Arrested, chained, taken into custody, tried, and eventually beaten with a whip. every lash, time and time again. And I hear the story, I read the story, and I think about it, and I want to stop it. I want to stop reading. I say, that's enough. I don't want to know anymore. But God's love goes further. He's stripped of his clothes, and he's mocked. He's laughed at. A crown of thorns is taken and smashed down onto his forehead. And it gets worse. For they take a rod and they beat him on the head. And the blood flows down his face and begins to mix with the spit that the soldiers have thrown at him. And I hear it and I read it and I think, that's enough. I see that God's love loves me. This is too much. But God's love is too wild and it doesn't stop, because from there he's rejected by the masses. Jesus' heart breaks as he hears the cries, crucify him. And God's love moves Jesus along the road to Golgotha. Footstep by footstep, he walks and he stumbles. And the wood comes down and grinds onto his already torn apart, bleeding back. He stumbles again and again until he can carry it no more. And again, my heart cries out and I say, stop, this is too much. This is too crazy. It's enough. But it's not. God's love is even wilder, because he allows his creation, he allows his creatures to strip him, to take iron nails, and with a hammer, drive him into his wrists and into his feet. Jesus' wild love forces him to hang on a wooden cross, suffering for each breath, hearing each insult, brutalized by every mock and jeer as more people walk by and spit on him. And I say, this is enough. I don't need to see anymore. But God's love is even wilder. God loves us so much that his Son, as he hung on the cross, perfect and innocent, the Father loves us enough that he turned away from the Son. He turned away, and Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus' love is so strong that he was willing to become sin for us. My sin, your sin. This is wild love. Could it get any crazier? Could God's love get any wilder than this? It can, because in John chapter 15, verse 13, Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. This love is not just a theory. It's not just a feeling. It's real. It moved. It's wild. And it's even crazier, friends, because it was done for you and me. Turn in your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 5, and we'll see again how wild this is. If you turn to Romans chapter 5, not only did Jesus do this, not only did God endure this, but why? Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love, this wild, crazy love. He demonstrates it toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's crazy and wild love because we aren't worthy of it. And yet he loves us. We want to know if love is wild? Friends, it could not be any wilder. God is willing to go to extreme measures to save. But that's not the only question that's in the hearts of humans. Not only do we want to know if God's love is wild, we want to know if God's love is real. And in our hearts, we ask the question, can we believe this story? Can we believe that it's real? Because many times in life, when you hear something that's too good to be true, it's usually not. It's usually someone trying to sell you something. Can this wild, amazing love of God, can it be real? I want to know if love is real. Well, friends, listen to someone who was knocked over by the real, wild love of God. Listen to Saul of Tarsus, who said, I count all things loss for the excellence and the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Paul wrote that in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Saul of Tarsus, who has absolutely nothing to gain from this world, in a monetary sense, he's got nothing to gain from believing in Jesus and following him. Nothing to gain and everything to lose, but he chooses to believe because it's real. Friends, it's the only good explanation for Paul's change in life. It had to be real. Listen to Paul. He'll tell you. Listen to the lives of the disciples. After they experienced his death, they go out and they start preaching. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 40, we find out the results of their preaching. Now, I've preached a lot of sermons before, but I've never had this happen to me when I got done. Acts chapter 5, verse 40 says, and they agreed with him. This is the Sanhedrin. They agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them and commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. They preach in the name of Jesus. They preach that he's resurrected, and they get brought into the principal's office, and they get beaten for it. And watch what happens, verse 41. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Friends, we can believe in a love, a real love that changes lives. These disciples go and they preach and they get beaten for it. And they walk away with the bruises and the scars and the blood on their back saying, Hallelujah! We were beaten for Jesus. We can believe that this love is real. One statement in the Bible that makes all the difference in the world. One verse that answers humanity's heart cry. One verse that answers our desire for real, wild love. One verse makes the whole story. One verse changes everything. He is not here. He is risen. It changes everything. And it can change you. We can believe in God's real, wild love. But in our hearts, friends, in our hearts, each of us cry out, I want to know if God's love is wild. And if that's you this morning, if you're wondering if he can love you, then you need to spend some time and see the Son of God who became the Son of Man. You need to see him hanging, bleeding, suffering, writhing, and dying. There is no greater love than this. And we look into the mirror of our hearts and we know, I'm not worthy of this love. I'm not worthy of that kind of wild love. And yet he dies for us while we're still sinners. This love could not be any wilder. It could not be any stronger. It's strong enough for you. Maybe your life is a mess right now, full of pain. Maybe everything seems hopeless. But here are the words that can change it all. Words that can change your mess. Words that can heal your heartache. He is not here. He is risen. But you say, Pastor, I struggle. I want to know if it's real. It sounds good. It sounds wild. But is it too good? Maybe you've lost a loved one. and your heart cries out, how can it be real? If you wonder that this morning, I want you to listen to a murderous Pharisee turned to a preacher when he tells you it is real. He says the tomb is empty. Paul says Jesus was not there. He is risen. How else can you explain my life? Listen to Paul. Or maybe you've heard all the arguments against the gospel's great news. Maybe your friends no longer believe like they once did, and your heart cries out this morning, I'm not sure, can it truly be real? Then listen to the testimony of every disciple that saw it. They were willing to live, to love, to serve, so that we here on the other side of the planet, living 2,000 years later, may believe. Listen to their lives. Listen to their deaths. For they each and every one found this real love of Jesus that was worth dying for. Brutal deaths. Those disciples' lives and their deaths still cry out to us, he was not there, he is risen, it's real, and we died for it. Will we live for it? Or maybe this morning, as we prepare to close, maybe you just don't know if this love is real enough to change a life today. Maybe you say, Pastor, it did things back then. It did things thousands of years ago. It did things hundreds of years ago. It did things decades ago. But can it really change a life today? Well, my friend, I invite you to listen to a rock and roll DJ who, by the grace of the good Lord, laid down his headphones and grabbed his Bible and said, Lord, if your love is wild enough to love me, if your love is crazy enough to use me, then I will follow you. This love of Jesus, it's wild enough because it was there to die for sinners like me. This love is strong enough to break every shackle of sin and death, to break open the grave. This love of Jesus is still real today to change our world, to change our lives for the worst of sinners. This love is powerful enough to change you. Amen? This love is real enough to save you and me. Amen? The heart cries out to God. Is your love wild? Is it real? We have our answer this morning. Yes, it is. Because he is not here. He is risen. Come and see. Almighty Father in heaven, Lord, we praise you this day for a love we cannot understand, but a love that we can believe in. Touch our hearts again, Lord, and may we be willing to tell the world, he is not here, he is risen. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.